Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Manchester! How are you? Thank you so much for being here. It is a pleasure to be in Manchester. We have all our family in today. I'm sure we have some people that my mum went to school with, maybe, I don't know, or synagogue, we're not sure. I'll get a show of hands. My name's Jessie, and this is a bit of a homecoming for my mum, so please, will you put your hands together for Lenny? Wow. Mum, why have you brought your handbag on stage?
I've got my glasses in.
Oh, there, right, fair enough. I now go on tour with my mother. It's very different to going on tour with a band. I now stay at Auntie Susan's the night before a show. And instead of being interrupted and awoken by, my band being loud, I have Danny snoring and my mum chiming in with her snoring and us talking about how, I mean, honestly, the hangover of talking about how Manchester water makes the best bagels in the world. I don't know if you agree, but it's a pleasure. How are you finding tour so far, mum?
Well, it's a big haul, isn't it, Jess?
It is a big haul.
Yeah. I must say, when I first came in, I was going to go back out again and just stay in the dressing room. But now I'm here, I can't actually see anyone,
it's
so it's perfect.
Gaga used to come here, didn't she? Who did she come and see? What's his
proper
face? Alfie. Who was the singer that sung at Blackpool all the time?
I don't know. Russell.
Is he Mandalorian?
I don't know. He was either sang here or in Blackpool, right. So it's one of the two.
Anyway, you know what it's like. You know what this is going to be slightly like. We kind of know what it's going to be like. We do the podcast. We do a live podcast with a brilliant guest. And then on the second half, you go and have a drink and you will have the chance to ask us some questions with some very nifty technology, which I'll tell you about at the end of this half. But I wonder if you would like to introduce this guest, Mum.
Well, I've been so excited for probably about 3 years to meet him. We've been desperate for him to come along.
I feel like they're ready for anything, but it's because somebody's laughing about you waiting 3 years.
Why are they laughing? The fact that he is a doctor might have something to do with it. It's not my son. He's at home saving lives,
of
course.
He fancied a few days off from Mum and I.
But this person is responsible for one of the best dramas I think we've seen this year and one of the funniest books.
Please give it up for
Adam Kay.
Yes! The best. We are so lucky to have Adam. Can I say something about this person? Adam was meant to be doing another night and couldn't do it and was like, I really want to do the podcast. Well, this is what they told us, Adam. And so he has come all the way to Manchester to do this because I think he loves Mancunians. I think that's why it is, really.
Of course.
Thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Should we pop open the bubbly?
Yeah, should we have
a drink? Yes, please. That's actually why I'm here.
So, Adam, I want to know about your beginnings, your
beautiful sound, yes.
You grew up in Southeast London.
Yep.
Around a thriving dinner table. What was the food like?
So, I was a vegetarian in...
and we've forgiven you.
In a Jewish household.
Nightmare.
And a Jewish household who eats things like chopped liver with egg on it.
We had that for breakfast, but yeah, carry on.
And roll mops, whatever the hell they are. Mm. And milts, which I think is...
What are milts?
I think, is that spleen?
I don't know what it is.
Does anyone know what milts are?
I mean...
How many Jews are in the audience tonight? That's our family over there. Yeah. Cheers, Adam.
Cheers.
Thank you for being here. Cheers, Manchester.
Cheers.
So milts, what did they look like? What did they taste like?
I refused to taste it and declared myself vegetarian. And if you're vegetarian in the late 80s, early 90s, that involves eating something called Bean Feast, which is
like a
powder that you add some slop to, and it sort of reforms into something that looks almost like mince if you've never seen or tasted mince.
Is this actually... So
it's called Bean Feast.
I imagine it's like they give vegetarians on the International Space Station.
Okay. And did you enjoy Bean Feast?
No. No one's ever enjoyed Bean Feast.
Surprisingly, I don't know if Bean Feast still exists.
I hope not. I mean, it's now being vegetarian, it's wonderful. It's like there was a time where it was quite a niche.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's probably like now being vegetarian and going to France, where they interpret vegetarian as like not eating brain.
Were your parents good cooks?
I've never seen my dad even cook a slice of toast. But my mum's a good cook.
But do you feel like you were fully able to enjoy her cuisine because you were getting like the sides of the roast?
Is she going to listen to this?
I don't know. Is she a proud Jewish mother?
Don't say anything.
Say it.
My mum is a great cook, but it does involve one of the main components being meat.
Right. So you always missed out a little bit.
Yeah.
Did it make you a good cook? Because you had to survive on your own.
So this isn't going to paint me in a great light, I realise. So we sold a flat a few years ago, and while we were there over the course of 3 years or something, we'd sort of done it up, and we redid the bathroom, we redid the kitchen, and the estate agent came round and took the photos, and they opened the oven, and the oven still was full of the polystyrene block that it was provided with.
How long had you been in this flat?
2 or 3 years.
And you can't make the excuse that you're a retired doctor that gets takeaways now.
I think the thing is, there are just some people who are just much better at cooking than I am, and I would hate to take work away from professional chefs, delivery drivers. So, neither me or my husband could cook at all, but over lockdown, we learnt to cook, which means he'd learnt to cook.
Okay, so what did he learn to cook in lockdown that really tickled you?
So, you know, like, some people, if they come across a new band, you're like, oh, I'm going to get the entire back catalogue.
Yeah.
He got, like, started with the back catalogue of Nigella, which is, like, 4,000 books, and then did, like, Ottolenghi Nardia, and so he sort of worked his way through the books, which was incredible. But it did mean that there would be like an Ottolenghi phase where he had just exclusively Middle Eastern food for 6 months.
did you have a sourdough starter?
Yeah, the sourdough starter is now part of our family.
What's it called?
I don't think it's got a name.
Didn't name it.
Actually, I've not seen it for a while. I think it might be with a sourdough sitter. But the Nadia phase was quite weird, where we just had cake for 4 months.
Banana bread?
Nadia phase.
Did you never lay, I think, like you didn't go and enter into the kitchen to go, you know what, have a night off, I'm going to rustle something up?
There's no good way of answering this, is there?
You didn't.
But I'm, you know, sort of play to your strengths.
Did you wash up? You're a cat man.
If my husband wanted a pithy diary entry, I would be there like that.
Do you both write diaries?
No. That's my thing, and he needs to stay the fuck away.
Has he ever read your diary?
He's read the ones I've published. Actually, I hope he has. I hope he's read the ones I've published.
Did he watch the TV show?
He was contractually obliged to, because he was a producer on it.
Oh, right, fair enough.
It would say a lot about his work ethic if he didn't.
Can I just say congratulations on it?
Yeah.
It was just so wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, it kind of went further than book, and I think we appreciated that. Can I just say, Jess, we ordered vegetarian...
Okay, it's been a bit of a
Vietnamese
nightmare.
..food for Adam. The powerful smell of fish sauce coming from this is about to make me... I feel as if I'm in Saigon.
It's like punishment for being
it's
vegetarian.
It's so strong.
It doesn't look hugely vegetarian.
No, okay, so can we explain what is happening here, Adam, or what is not happening here? So usually on the podcast, we would cook for you at mum or my house. We are on tour. We have no kitchen. However, we have gone with a travelling hob. Like, we're about to do a cooking demo. And the first hob died in Edinburgh, even though I did 2 years of that in my basement kind of hole before my woe is me, I'm fine, it's fine. And there is a reason for that, because mum has made chicken soup this evening. Well, she didn't make it this evening, she made it...
I made it Saturday.
Saturday, and we travelled it up to Manchester in an ice bag, and this has been...
And
a lot of conversation about the direction of where the chicken soup will go. The first batch that went to Edinburgh went up iced with Steve, and it's been a whole thing. It's become like...
Is Steve the name of the hob?
No, but he... it's pretty hot, our Steve, though. So we would have cooked for you, and...
So what the fuck's happened?
No, exactly.
You might well
And you
ask.
Can't have chicken soup because you're vegetarian. However, we did get an email from somebody in the audience who is here tonight who said that they would change their vegetarianism for the night if they could try the chicken soup. I don't know if this person is here. Up there? Hello. Well, I don't know how you're going to get the fucking chicken soup from up there, babe, but I appreciate it. But anyway, so we would have cooked for you, we didn't, so we thought, why not celebrate some of the places that are amazing in Manchester? And we lots of you sent in recommendations of places to eat. I went to Sugo today. So good. You are not having that, unfortunately. So there's a lot of foodies in the audience, no doubt. And one of the big places that everyone was recommending was Viet Shack. Yeah, woo! Apart from you tell Viet Shack that you've got a vegetarian and they bring pork and shellfish. So, Adam's got some broccoli and some aubergine, and then tell him about the cheesecake.
So the cheesecake, Auntie Susan got in Brackman's on Friday, and it's been kept in the fridge, and it is absolutely delicious, and I think I'd go with that and leave that out.
I really apologise, Adam, because this
it's
not...
It's fine, I've got some bean feast in the car.
I'm really sorry. So we're just going to have to get drunk instead. Cheers.
Cheers.
So, yes, this is what's happening here. And
what's your favourite cuisine besides vending machines in hospitals?
I think it's probably Italian. If I was sort of in a sort of strange hostage scenario where I was only allowed one cuisine, ever again. I think probably Italian.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry I didn't get you sugo. It was really good.
Stop saying how good it was.
I know, I'm so sorry.
I think you should stop talking about it.
I'm going to stop talking about it. But so let's go back to the start of the diary, the Adam Kay that we all discovered with your book.
Yeah. Was medicine so challenging that you had to record it every single day?
It wasn't that it was challenging, it's that no one teaches you how to deal with the crap, and you have to find your own way of doing it. Mm. And for me, there was, you know, there was white wine, and there was writing the silly stuff, the gross stuff, the funny stuff down, because if you focus on that rather than the difficult stuff, that's a way of getting through the days, as long as the days don't get, you know, catastrophically bad.
But that's the thing about that book. I mean, how many people here have read that book? It's entertaining, but you feel guilty being entertained by it because it's serious stuff that's happening and you're struggling. But you're a brilliant writer, and I guess you had to find light in horrendous situations. Am I right?
I think that's exactly it. And you shouldn't feel guilty because the book's a deliberate confidence trick. It says all over it, this is funny, this is gross, it's going to be this sort of story. But actually, that's my way of sort of pulling people in order to tell them this. And if the book was called, you know, a sort of 70,000-word harrowing polemic about the NHS, it probably sold 9 copies.
Yeah.
And you know, similarly with the TV show, sort of bring people in and tell them something difficult, because the TV show was essentially about mental illness under, you know, difficult conditions, working on a lay board.
And I guess you then became this voice for so many doctors, and then, you know, Shruti, the character in the TV show, that she wasn't in the book,
and well, she might have been. But
she represented. Did you feel this mad responsibility for junior doctors and doctors?
It was absolutely a huge responsibility. You know, I expected my book would sell a few copies. I've got loads of friends who've written books in the past, and you know what it's like. You go to the book launch and drink a glass of warm white wine, and then the book sells 12 copies. You never talk about it ever again. But it really took off, and I think through two reasons. Firstly, our rightful love for the NHS, which is, I think, our greatest achievement as a civilised nation. And secondly, our love for stories of objects up people's bums.
Yeah, I did love those books.
Sort of found the alchemy that combined the two of those. And it sold a lot of books. And it was sort of, I guess, important to use my, you know, platform for good rather than evil. So I've sort of banged the gong for, you know, the well-being of junior doctors, and, you know, reached a bigger audience still with the TV show. But it is a big responsibility. And I think the biggest responsibility for the TV show was portraying it realistically and honestly. Because I didn't want, you know, 1.5 million people in the NHS who watch, you know, who had the opportunity to watch the show to go, yeah, it's not like that. And, you know, probably went a bit far, and it's probably quite difficult and triggering for lots of, you know, doctors and nurses.
There was some criticism about that, wasn't there? That
it was bleak.
It's bleak.
It's not an easy watch. It's not meant to be.
No, and also, you would have hated me. Actually, no, I was good fun in labour, but you would have been like, oh, got her bloody hippie music on. She's asked for the plug-in for a lavender essential oil. I didn't want to eat the placenta. I didn't want to do that. It is in my garden.
I would have loved you in labour. I probably wouldn't have met you in labour, because if you're the doctor, you see the fraction of a percent that go wrong.
I never saw a
doctor. Hopefully, you know, ideally, on a shift on labour ward, you see almost no patients, because they all have nice normal deliveries that can be handled by the midwives, and the doctors can stay well away. But, you know, it's like, if you're a firefighter, you don't see the traffic lights when no one crashes.
Yeah.
So you, So
I remember Jessie saying that she's going to have her She had one baby in hospital, and the next two babies were delivered at home.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. And I remember you saying in your book...
You said something in the book.
Yeah, you said the only delivery at home you should have is a pizza. And I kept quoting. I said, Adam Kay said, the only delivery you should have is a pizza.
Both my brother, who is a doctor, if you didn't know already, although she said it about 10 times back.
Did you know
that?
They were like, you're absolutely mad. But yeah, it did make me laugh when you said that.
But again, the only home deliveries I was aware of were ones that had been transferred into hospital.
Course, yes.
And so you get a slightly, warped perspective on what is. But the show didn't focus on the normal deliveries and mums.
No.
I'm definitely not the right person to write a show that does. It focused on doctors working in impossibly difficult circumstances, and the effects of that job on how they behave. And the character of Adam behaves reprehensibly throughout. He's a difficult one to like.
He seems worse in the TV than he seemed in the book. I kind of quite fond of you in the book.
Because the book is me.
Yeah.
And the TV.
Yeah. Okay.
I have the option of writing a sort of incredible superhero who saves the day in a charming manner time after. That would have been a rubbish drama.
Yeah.
I wanted this sort of complicated, dislikable weirdo who I thought might be interesting, and he behaves really badly, he does some really bad shit, and then comes unstuck, and I thought that was an interesting thing to watch.
Adam, when you were a doctor, you were also performing a little bit, writing comedy things. Was there a group of doctors that liked doing panto, at the weekend?
It was while I was at medical school.
Yeah.
So, like, as weird as this sounds, at medical school, no one tells you how to deal with the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you how to break bad news, sadly, to a patient, but they don't mention that that has an impact on you. It sort of reflects back, a bit bounces back, and after time, it really grinds you down. But there was not a second of the 6 years I was at medical school where they talk about how you deal with this stuff, taking time off, speaking to people, meditation, whatever it is. There's all this evidence for how to cope. The closest thing they offer you is the chance to get up on stage and make fun of your professors and your patients and your consultants. And so, I did a bit of that as a medical student, and it meant that when I left medicine, it was literally the only thing I could think of. It was the closest thing I had to a skill set.
You've got to tell us the conversation you had with your mother when you said you were leaving medicine. I would need to know about this conversation, because I dread the moment ever. Did she take it well?
Yes and no.
But mostly
no.
Because you
100%
have
100% no.
100%.
Yeah.
Did she think it was on the cards a bit?
She's only stopped telling her friends I was dead quite recently. I think as soon as I was in the bestsellers chart, my son, the author.
I know that one.
But you've got doctors in your family.
Yeah, there's a positive family history. Yeah.
So at least they could, they're still flying the flag.
Yeah. I don't have kids, and you both do, and I get the concept that you want the best for your children. And in my family, it meant having like a safe, sensible job. So there's four of us, and the degrees we did were doctor, lawyer, he's the black sheep of the family, doctor. Because, not that we were sort of being deliberately forced into something, but, they're amazing, rewarding jobs, and they wanted us to have success and happiness and security. My husband works in the media, and his dad worked in advertising, and they are, the four of them are producer, musician, producer. So it's like...
Ours is a weird one, then.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You've got right hodgepodge.
So back to food and back to being in the hospital and the vending machine. We see the vending machine a lot in the TV show. What was your snack of choice?
So my dinner of choice was a Twix.
Twix.
Oh, my God. it's delicious, but it's not nutritious. Did you?
I mean,
you didn't care.
Didn't care.
You needed sugar because you were so tired.
It's the difference. I mean, that was on a good day. On a bad day, you don't have time to go to the vending machine, or it keeps you 30p or whatever.
So you weren't a packed lunch kind of person? Didn't have time?
Didn't have time, no. Or cooking ability.
Did any hospital serve good food?
I mean, a couple that I worked in, but the canteen sort of served normal hours, forgetting that the hospital worked 24 hours. But, you mean, I think that out of just sort of basic humanity, every hospital should provide nutritious, hot food all times of day and
things
night.
Things might have changed if you were a doctor now, and you might have stayed because they have M&S at most hospitals. You'd be all right. It might have encouraged you to stay on.
I still don't think it would have kept him there for some reason.
Yeah, that wasn't, in fairness, that wasn't the main problem.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You say it took 6 years for you to revisit the diaries. Mm. What were you doing when you... Was it too hard to face it? Did you just not want to think about anything to do with the NHS, hospitals, being a doctor? What did you do kind of directly after finishing medicine?
So I left medicine after I had a very bad day at work, basically. All you ever want from any, every single case is healthy mum, healthy baby. Mm. And so much the better if everyone can get exactly what they've got written on their birth plan and they can have the water birth and the lovely music playing and everything. Yeah. But ultimately what it comes down to, doctors, ultimately don't mind if the music has to turn off as long as healthy mum, healthy baby. And there was one awful case when I was the most senior doctor working on a labour ward on a weekend shift, and we had neither a healthy mum nor a healthy baby, and I realised that I just wasn't cut out for it. I didn't have thick enough armour. I couldn't deal with how I felt. And I stepped away from medicine, and for best part of a couple of months, I couldn't do anything, really, sort of, other than lie in bed and sort of have flashbacks. And the only other thing I could think that was vaguely approaching a skill set was like back at medical school when I did these, sketches and stuff on stage. And I thought, I'll give it a go for a few months. And ultimately, I knew that it wasn't going to work and I'd end up working back in hospital. I knew I'd done my last shift on labour ward. I knew I couldn't face that again. But I'd asked at the time if I could, convert to something like general practice. Loads of my family are GPs. Yeah. It's the most amazing job. And I thought, there's nothing easy about being a GP, but you're not right on the front line. It's not operations and, constant life and death.
Yeah.
And at the time, I think things are better now, but at the time they said that if I wanted to convert from being quite a relatively senior trainee, you go right back to the start.
Oh my God.
And I just couldn't face it. And so I thought I'd try fucking around as a sort of comedian for a few months, and then ultimately after I'd get over myself and start my GP training. As it happens, I got very lucky and I ended up I mean, certainly didn't get lucky performing on stage. That was an absolute shit show. But it did lead to writing a bit for telly. And so before the book, I was what you'd probably call like a jobbing writer. So right. Write an episode of this and an episode of that and script edit this show and that. And it was a great life, and I was very...
Was it thrilling? Was it a different kind of thrill, or was it kind of felt safer and more like a 9-to-5?
The stakes were zero.
Yeah.
So now, if I have a bad day at work, no one dies. I mean, it would have to go very wrong this evening for someone to die. But, you know, you listen back to this and go like, oh, my God, that was shit bad. We can't put this one out as a podcast. Ultimately, you know, you'll never speak to me ever again, but no one dies. You know, whatever I do, if I'm writing a TV show and the production company like, oh, that shit, yeah, that script's bad, or I do a show and someone, you know, throws a can of beans at me or whatever. But a bad day at work previously was terrible. And I've got a lot of guilt about leaving medicine. I mean, you go into medicine in the first place, not for the money, but, you know, pathetic as it sounds, to make some kind of difference. Like, if you leave work, you know, from labour ward and you've delivered, you know, X number of babies, you know, done this cesarean, that forceps delivery, whatever, you know, it's very, the arts have huge value, of course, but it's very hard to persuade yourself that, you know, script editing a BBC Three sitcom is exactly the same as saving a baby's life on labour ward.
Yeah. So what are you up to now, apart from promoting, this is going to hurt, worldwide?
Oh, yeah, and I've got to go off to the States too. That's coming out there. I've got a big tour in September called This Is Going to Hurt More.
I've seen your first one.
Oh, yeah.
And it was wonderful. Aww. Yeah. How many instruments do you play?
I play the piano and the harpsichord and the organ.
Yeah.
It sort of falls within the sort of realm of greater piano, I guess, doesn't it? I play saxophone.
Yeah. Did you take it up because of Lisa Simpson? That is the only reason I wanted to take it up. No?
Okay. I didn't, as it turns out.
Did anybody else want to? Lisa Simpson sings the blues, one of the greatest albums of our time.
She is the iconic saxophone player of our age. And I play the trombone.
The whole orchestra in
one. Can you sing as well?
No, I can speak in rhythm.
He sings.
You can rap?
No.
He's very good.
Back to food. So you don't cook.
Yeah, sorry, I'm a terrible guest. I do eat.
Enjoy a piece of tender steak. You're going to have to eat some of that cheesecake, because Susan got that.
Right. It does look nice.
It is delicious.
Where's it from?
Brackman's.
Does anyone go to Brackman's here? Knife and fork. Yeah.
Have you got good table manners?
You can use
I've
your
never eaten in front of 2,000 people.
Knife and fork.
Mum, join him.
Normally I'll eat at the dock and just put my face down onto the plate.
No, but I was going to ask. So you don't cook. Mm. You must get a lot of takeaways. Mm. When your other half isn't cooking, do you like eating out?
We get huge pleasure from eating out.
So where are some of your spots? Because you have two places that you kind of go between. So, like, where do you love to eat?
You're really making me sound like a man of the people here, aren't you?
No, shut up.
No, we moved from London just before lockdown out into the countryside.
So where do you love to eat?
Nothing for me beats a really disgusting sort of chips and cheese.
Chips and cheese.
Like, I'm sort of nervous saying that out loud.
No, why?
Okay.
So what? Like variations.
And I was right to be, because the audience went sort of.
No, but you know what really is popular here? I don't know if people still have it. Chips and curry sauce. Do people still have it? Maybe that's what you should get in the car on the way home.
I should. But sometimes the curry sauce has got sort of chickeny bits in it.
Probably here. Probably.
I don't know.
So chips and cheese.
Not for an anniversary meal.
No. So Where would you go for an anniversary meal? When was your last anniversary?
Oh, don't ask questions like that. Come on. Last anniversary meal, we went to... Last anniversary meal where it was legal to go outside of your house. We love a sort of posh Indian restaurant. It's the same as a normal Indian restaurant, except they charge you £35 for a main.
And they're smaller portions.
Much smaller portions. Yeah. So a restaurant called Benares in Berkeley Square. And there's loads of great sort of posh Indian restaurants. Like there's Gymkhana.
Yeah, I haven't been there yet.
Really good. Although, there's a starter. And there's two options. There's like the vegetarian version, or they can upgrade it to a meat option. And you order it, and they say, "And would you like that with or without the goat's brain?" And the answer is without, obviously.
Absolutely.
It's a goat's brain.
Goat's
brain. I think that might
Indian.
Be
Indian. Okay.
I think so.
Can I ask you what is a nostalgic or a taste or a smell that can take you back to being a junior doctor?
I mean, you don't want to hear about the smells that are taking me back to being. I think the answer is diabetic foot. Or C. diff. Those are the smells that take me back. And in fact, those are the smells that mean you don't go to the vending machine afterwards.
Okay, let's rephrase that. A nostalgic smell or taste from your childhood that doesn't involve diabetes.
It feels wrong that I like this so much. And it's a once a year offering.
Yeah.
So on the Pesach plate, the Passover plate, they've got all these sort of random stuff, and there's a sort of a burned egg and a sort of shank of whatever that is. And after that, before the meal, and this might just be my family, but we would have hard-boiled eggs in
salt water.
Yeah.
We're talking about Passover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it, right. I mean, it's not a standard.
Yeah.
Amuse bouche. But I mean, that's a sort of
for the bitter tears cried.
Oh, was that?
Yeah,
what
I think
were the
so.
Eggs
was
about?
That a,
the,
yeah, no,
the chickens.
Eggs for new life. I think.
Oh, eggs for new life and.
And the salt for the tea.
Are you going to get rabbis writing in after this?
But it does taste quite nice, actually.
I really liked it.
Yeah. It's probably not I think any dietitians listening might question.
So now this leads me on.
Salt water and eggs as a meal. But
well, this leads me on to something else. Did you have a bar mitzvah?
I did, yeah.
And did you have a theme?
No. I think mortification was the theme.
Do you remember
awkward shuffling.
What your portion was?
My what?
What portion you did of the, you know, the Torah?
Jess is about to have a bat
mitzvah. No, I'm not anymore because I'm going to South America.
Okay.
I'm a terrible Jew. I didn't have a bat mitzvah when I was 13, 14, whenever a girl has it. And then I decided that I was going to do it. And then I was like, sorry, I've got to go to South America for some gigs. So, and I realized that you can't just do your portion the week after because it doesn't work like that in Judaism. So I now have to wait a whole year to do the bit about Hagar and Sarai. So that is...
I think I can...
When's your birthday? And then we can work it out.
It's the 12th of June, but I think I can remember like the first few words of like the Hebrew thing that
do
I've...
Do it for me.
Can you sing it?
Yeah.
Go on then.
Go on.
But I don't know if it's against the rules? Is it like madly
there
blasphemous?
Are no, rules. There
no
are
I'm
no
thinking
rules.
I don't want to be like struck by lightning. I mean,
I think you're all
I'm
right.
I'm on a fucking thin line with God as it is at the moment. As soon as he hears about my husband and then I'm starting reading bits of the Torah, singing the Torah at a gig, it went. Cold, da da da, kisi, as a oret, da 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 da. I mean, the da da bits
very
were sort
good.
Of.
Sounds nice with the reverb.
Yeah,
it does.
Sing out, Louise.
I mean, in fairness, I last thought of that when I was 13, which is.
Well done.
A number of years ago.
So, did you have a particular meal of choice at your bar mitzvah?
No, he had a meal of his mother's choice. Exactly. Done.
I had to sort of... The starter was a consommé of bean feast. And then we had bean feast steak. And summer pudding.
Did you have a first dance with your mum?
No.
Wow, did you think of that one then, mum?
I had a first dance.
Yes, I know. Apparently it's not a done thing. I don't know.
Is it not?
I don't know.
Oh, it's not a done thing in my family.
Okay, it was in ours.
Did you enjoy your bar mitzvah?
I presume not.
Did you get drunk?
No, I wasn't allowed to. I wasn't allowed to drink.
Oh, mate.
I mean, and apart from the, you know, the official glass
the
of what?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Do you sing karaoke ever? Do you like it? I love it. Jesse hates it.
Yeah. Why do you hate? Oh, because you're a professional singer.
Yeah, I think it's just no fun.
Expectation. I can see that.
No fun. Yeah.
Yes. So what's your kind of best karaoke song?
I can do all of them.
Okay. But who's your alter ego?
I would go for Ring of Fire. Because it's quite surprising
when someone sings
really low, because it's got that sort of the low G. Burns, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
And do you do karaoke a lot?
No.
Not enough? Would you like to do it more?
It's sort of, you know, evenings sometimes unexpectedly end in karaoke. I think it's best that it's a surprise. I don't think I've ever booked it in specifically.
Yeah, kind of like organised fun then. It's like, sing! It's kind of not as fun, is it?
Yeah, I'd say so. Although you presumably have a lot of people going, sing!
And I don't mind that, but like, yes. No,
that's
I,
handy, if yeah, you're going
no,
on tour.
Yeah, it's quite good, yeah. So, Last Supper. I asked you to think about this mullet over.
Yeah, so a Last Supper. I think the truth is, were I to either be executed...
Or going back into the NHS.
Or be told, I've got like 4 hours to live. My appetite might not be great.
You're being too rational.
Am I thinking about it too much?
Yeah, you're thinking about it too much.
So.
You're going to
a desert island
or a district hospital that you will not be able to eat the food that you like for 6 months.
Okay, that's good.
So it's like
I don't think the dishes will... be a coherent meal, but
that's fine.
I do like gazpacho as a starter.
Do you? Red or green?
Red.
Okay.
I didn't know there was a green.
What's green? Is that pesto?
Yeah. No. There is a green one that my friend Jill makes.
All right, fancy pants. Gazpacho. I swear we haven't talked about that since Charlotte Tilbury brought over gazpacho for the podcast. So, yeah, it's not...
I'm in good company, then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, yeah. So,
I think that was a childhood, like, that appeared in childhood. If you can't have chicken soup, you're not getting hot soup at all. I like gazpacho.
Okay.
Because does this involve blitzing bread into it?
I think you can have some bread in it, or croutons, but it's very like garlicky.
It is.
Yeah.
Main drink of choice.
Drink of choice. I drink a lot of white wine.
Yeah.
I mean, not like sort of a problematic amount.
Mum.
Oh, I don't.
Thank
you.
I don't know much about white wine. I was taught the ABC of white wine. Anything but Chardonnay.
I love Chardonnay.
Jesse.
What does that make me? I love it.
Doesn't
it's
make you
buttery.
Anything. We're all allowed to like different things.
Yeah, I know, but do you not like Chardonnay?
No.
No.
Why don't you like it?
No one really likes Chardonnay,
Jesse. What
are
you talking about?
No one. People did like it. They don't like
it
anymore.
So why don't they like it now?
Because it's syrupy and a bitter oaky.
Delicious.
You're lucky if you don't get the oak in them. They all show off now. We've got a Chardonnay. No oak.
That's
as if
what
that's
you said
a
last
thing.
Night.
Yeah.
That's
no
good.
Oak.
Good.
No oak. Because everyone hated the oak.
I like my gazpacho with no oak as well. It's just here's my relationship with wine.
Okay.
So we went to schools
close to each other, yeah.
And I'll describe them as fancy schools.
Yeah.
And from the age of 15 to 18. Every Friday evening, I did wine tasting classes.
Fuck off.
You did not.
Bloody
did.
Fuck
off.
Where?
Who with?
with a teacher I won't name because as I'm thinking about
it, I
worry about the motivation of the teacher who gets the 15-year-old boys drunk.
Oh my god!
But
oh my god!
I'm so sorry for you.
No, it's fine. I was drinking loads of wine. And no one went near me. But
did he take you to his house?
No, it was in a room called the Old Library.
This is terrible!
On school grounds. Shock horror.
And actually, now I'm thinking about this, coming back like my fucking bar mitzvah, it was every fourth Friday, it wasn't wine, it was a spirit.
Oh my God!
Jessie, and you sung the Mikado there.
Pardon?
You sung the Mikado.
Forget about me, let's talk about the spirit night.
So I'd go home on the train and fucked on tequila or something.
That is
paid for by my parents.
Your parents knew you were going there?
I presume so, yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know if they were told.
So they paid for a man to feed you alcohol. I'm trying to understand this. Yeah.
Was this an extracurriculum?
It wasn't core curriculum. So anyway, but through this, we were fed these like dead nice wines. Like we'd be drinking like 60 pound bottles.
Was it just you on your own?
Oh no. It was a whole room of like 20 of us.
That's a bit better.
And so,
was there food with it?
No.
Oh my lord, right.
And so we would sort of, but it was like really like 50, 60 pound bottles of wine, like nicer wine than I'm drinking ever now. And then we'd had a few years of that. I never really learned all the different grapes or anything, but you just got a taste of it. And then I went to university where I could afford wine that was £4 a bottle.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is this? So.
Like, whereas not everyone else was steal sort of your Friday nights in your childhood, he also stole your ability to drink shit wine.
Yeah, so exactly. I had to sort of, and so I wasn't able to drink like the sort of standard
Sancerre, darling.
So, okay. What's your drink of choice then?
A glass of Sancerre, please. I still don't know anything much about wine, but someone clever told me that it's quite difficult to make shit Sancerre and Viognier.
So
if you order a Sancerre or Viognier, almost by definition, it'll be nice because none of the sort of the EasyJet vineyards can't churn it out.
So okay, am I wrong to like?
Am I still coming across relatable?
Yes.
Okay, great.
And vulnerable. White Burgundy.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Am I impressing you with that?
Yeah. Okay. Sounds like a wine.
Chardonnay's a different grape, Jess.
I know nothing. Carry on. Right, mains.
So what used to be called macaroni cheese and is now called mac and cheese.
Do you like it with the added extras, the ox cheek or the truffle?
No, he's vegetarian.
I have to have sorry.
It'd have to be like mushroom cheek.
Okay.
I like some fancy bits in it.
So you love a bit of cheese. Cheesy chips.
What's your favourite pasta? Cheese? Maybe that's a good question to ask.
Maybe it is.
Because I think we're on a good winner here with the cheese,
yeah.
Jess.
Okay, right. Fine.
I like a goat.
Goat
cheese. Yeah,
goat cheese.
Do I need to know the name of the goat?
No. But there's all different ones, aren't there? What's that?
Oh, drunken goat.
I love the cheese trolley at a wanky restaurant when they bring that over they just sort of spent 20 minutes pointing at cheeses and you sort of zone out halfway through and then they say, and which would you like? And you just point at one.
So we've got like cheesy pasta.
I'd settle for a baby bell, actually.
Oh, you like a baby bell?
Can't go wrong with a baby bell, can you?
Yes, and it's a shame because my mum does this brilliant beef burger with a baby bell inside that you'll never be able to try. It's really good.
You'll never be able to.
I wonder, you could do that with a Beyond Burger, maybe.
Yeah,
we can do it.
That could work. It's really good because it makes it like oozy. Do that. We'll do a barbecue and we'll cook for you and we'll do Beyond Burgers.
Yes.
Plant based.
Don't invite any of these idiots, just us.
Well, Well, apart from the person that bought the cookbook, somebody went, yeah, they love the baby belt. Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, that's the main. So it's, you know, it's beige.
Yeah.
That's pretty beige, isn't it?
It is quite beige.
But you don't get this figure without eating beige food.
Darling, what would you have for your dessert? Cheesecake on top of the cheese.
I can't know. I think that's a bit much. What do we think about summer pudding?
Oh, I love summer
pudding.
Oh, my
God. Mum used to do that in the 90s. You haven't really brought it back.
I still do it.
It was one of my mum's faves,
it's
too.
It's gorgeous.
Does everyone know summer pudding?
Everyone loves it.
Yeah, okay.
Who has done it in this sense? Like, who's done it recently?
This millennium.
Oh, so just think about it. I've chosen a soup with bread hidden in it.
Yeah.
And a dessert encased in bread.
Yes, that's true.
And pasta for main.
But I still find you really interesting.
I'm going to feel very sleepy after this meal, which is fine because I'm about to die. So maybe you probably want to feel sleepy after
probably
your last supper.
Probably have a heart attack before that, yeah. All that cheese.
It's an interesting one. Yeah. It's, but it kind of has a beginning, middle and end. Kind
it
of.
Does. Yes, it does. Yes, it ends in my death.
Do you like lots of cream on your summer pudding?
No, that's perverted.
Why?
Why would you do that? To a perfectly good summer
to
pudding?
To counteract the tang.
Oh.
Ugh.
Oh.
What's wrong with you?
Dear.
Is that a thing? Is that what people... I mean, I guess you sort of... You get your food education at home, and we didn't have cream on our summer pudding.
We have a food, kind of food podcast. We know about these
things. Oh, mum, stop!
Just saying.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so you don't cook. We haven't fed you tonight. We're terrible hosts tonight. We have given you alcohol
and cheesecake.
And cheesecake. Do you think you have good table manners?
It sort of depends who you're out with, doesn't it? Because, like, I know some of the rules. So, like, if you're eating soup, you have to, and you get into the end, you have to tip the bowl away from you and sort of
push. Tip it? Do you have to tip it?
Sort of like you sort of push the spoon away.
Why, though? I don't
understand. What I do is I lift it to my face.
It doesn't stop you, does
no, it?
It
doesn't.
Jesus.
But sort of no one ever teaches you the... Like, you go to these restaurants sometimes, there's a separate sort of... fucking asparagus knife or something. So I don't know any of that.
Fine.
But I've never been kicked out of a restaurant because of the way I've eaten.
Fine.
Is that...
And what
that
is, yeah, that yeah, okay, I think you have great... You approach that cheesecake with a
with
knife
and fork.
I thought that was incredibly polite of you.
Yeah.
And unnecessary and so sweet. So, okay, what can't you stand about other people with bad table manners? What would be your pet hate?
It's hard to get over someone who eats and talks and sort of, you can see, I don't want to see the digestive process.
No, okay.
I acknowledge that it happens and I just don't want to witness it.
I wonder, did you ever get any really wonderful edible food treats, thank you presents from any
patients?
Yes, and you put them straight in the bin.
Why?
If it's not wrapped, they might be trying to kill you. So, yes, please.
But if the birth has gone well...
I don't know.
So you'd never taste it?
No.
That's very cynical.
Also, I think it happened once. And also...
They tried to kill you once?
No, they didn't try to kill me once. I think, generally, like a sort of a nice thing of roses or a sort of a sealed
it's
box
always
of
roses
Dunkin' Donuts
roses.
Or whatever. That's fine. That's great. Hooray, everyone's happy. But also, when you've given birth, very few people want to have a portable, stove brought in so they can cook you something.
Okay, so on the other side, what's the most interesting meal? Maybe you're like, I don't need to see you after the birth. Any meal that springs to mind that somebody's had after as a celebratory meal once they've given birth?
Did you really feel like having a slap-up dinner after you delivered?
No, I didn't want a slap-up dinner, but I chose UCH because my brother was working there. I thought I'd get preferential treatment because he was a doctor, junior doctor.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, idiot. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I'll say my brother's a doctor and they'll be like, yeah, fuck off. Anyway, I was in the broom cupboard. It was brilliant anyway. It didn't matter. I'd thrown up so much from the gas and air and being high as a kite that I'd like burnt my esophagus with acid reflux. Oh, so the honest burger that I had envisaged that I was going to have with my champagne. I couldn't have either it because the bubbles, I mean, woe is me. But yeah,
I
had to eat soggy cornflakes for about a week. But I had all the plans of having an honest burger and champagne, and it went out the window. So I think Mum had my one.
I didn't really work in any champagne hospitals.
Yeah, but you bring your own.
Can you?
We did.
We had it in the
Shush. That was, you can't do that, can you?
Yeah, we did.
I don't know. I know, I've not seen the rules, but I mean.
Oh. Would you never have a drink with your patient? No.
What?
Just your teacher.
I'm not Boris Johnson. You don't finish a shift and get hammered.
Can we please give a massive thank you to Adam Kay for coming all the way here and being such an amazing guest? Thank you so much.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.